Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It is imperative that we keep our eye in that war on its East Asian front, and nobody does a better job of that than our first guest, in fact, a weekly contributor to our program, Gordon Chang. He is a columnist for the Daily Beast. He is widely seen on Fox News and elsewhere. He is the author of two best-selling books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. This is, of course, a topic that both of these that are very much front and center in our conversations with him. We're always delighted to have him with us. Gordon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, apropos the nuclear showdown business, there is a report, I believe it's out of the Eurasian Review, that U.S. intelligence has concluded that sometime earlier this fall, North Korea did what many of us have believed they were perfectly capable of doing, namely selling three atomic or perhaps even thermonuclear weapons to Iran, a country with whom the regime in Pyongyang has been joined at the hip, both with respect to nuclear weapons technology and ballistic missile programs. Gordon, do you credit this report? And if so, what are the implications?
It's possibly true. This report mentions that North Korea sold these nukes, and they were transferred to Iran through both Russian and Chinese airspace. We know that the North Koreans have sold a lot of ballistic missiles to the Iranians, also have given them nuclear weapons technology. So, for instance, the Iranians have been on site for at least the first five of North Korea's six detonations. They could very well have been there at the sixth, but we don't have information on that yet, because that was just September 3. And the Iranians paid the North Koreans somewhere between $2.5 to $3 billion a year for their various forms of cooperation. Now, whether this story is true or not, of course, we don't know. But the one thing that I think is important for the American people is that we hear from the administration what they know, because this affects so many things. It changes all the narratives about China and Russia and solving the North Korean crisis. So there needs to be a complete airing of this. And this is one time where I think that the administration needs to talk to not only American public, but publics around the world about North Korea's proliferation.
Yeah, this comes, of course, at a moment when there's an increasing concern about Iran anyway, whether it is simply developing its own nuclear capabilities, as you say, perhaps with North Korean help, or for that matter, Russian, Chinese, Pakistani, who knows. But to actually see what, again, many of us have been warning about for some time, this perhaps leapfrogging from what it would take for the Iranians to acquire nuclear weapons the old-fashioned way, that is to say, building their own, versus simply acquiring them from somebody who's prepared to sell them ones that are good to go, as they say, is really a very alarming development, if it's true. And I think you're right, we do need to hear from the administration as to whether that is the case or not. Gordon, do you think, knowing a lot about the world, and in particular about the appetite for countries around it for nuclear weapons capabilities, now that it seems both the North Koreans and the Iranians are, if not already fully equipped with them, shortly to be, that the North may find it has a cash crop that it can sell to a lot of other comers as well?
Yeah, the North Koreans have sold just about everything that is in their inventory, so we shouldn't be surprised that they would sell their most destructive implements. And we know that the North Koreans have exported nuclear weapons technology to the Iranians. And so, for instance, just going back to the Israeli raid on that Syrian reactor was North Korean design. There are reports which are credible that North Koreans were actually killed in that raid. And it's pretty clear that the regime of Bashar al-Assad did not pay for that reactor because he just didn't have the cash. It's pretty clear in my mind that the Iranians paid for that reactor and that this was the Iranian nuclear weapons program, not within Iran's borders, but really outsourced to a neighbor. And we're seeing this in a different way play out with North Korea, because we know that both Tehran and Pyongyang signed a technical cooperation agreement in September 2012. There are reports, just rumors, but could very well be true, that Iranians were based at a North Korean military base just south of the Chinese border. These are questions that we need to have answers to, because it has so many implications, not only for the Iranian Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, what we call the nuclear deal, but also the North Korean threat, because this is not just North Korea. This is North Korea exporting its most dangerous weapons around the world.
Yeah. Gordon, you've recently written at the Daily Beast about the effort that has been underway for a long time, of course, to try to persuade the North Koreans to give up their nuclear weapons ambitions. A fool's errand, I think it's fair to say, by any reasonable measure to this point. The Russians have seemingly gotten into the act now. There's reason to believe, as I think we'll be talking about with Matt shortly, that they intend to insert themselves into the Middle East peace process too. But talk about some of the activities that the Putin regime has been engaged in with respect to North Korea and how it might be making for a more dangerous crisis there rather than attenuating it.
The Russians are doing two things. First of all, they're backfilling, as our ambassador Nikki Haley has said. In other words, as the Chinese are reducing their economic support for Pyongyang, the Russians are increasing it. So, for instance, they're stepping up their supplies of oil, which is critically important for the regime in Pyongyang. Also, they supplied a second internet link for North Korea. That started operating on October 1st. That gives the North Koreans even more capability of launching cyber attacks against the world. And the other thing that the Russians are doing is helping the North Koreans on an important goal, and that is to try to start negotiations so that the world will support the North Korean regime. So at this particular time, it just seems that Russia is troublemaking. They say they want peace, but what they're really doing is they are helping the North Koreans achieve some diplomatic goals.
Certainly getting out of its isolation, that's for sure. And Gordon Chang, just on that point you've just made about helping the North Koreans gain access to additional means by which to wage cyber attacks against, among others, this country, it has to be seen as a most unfriendly act by the Russians, is it not?
Absolutely. And what the United States should be doing is declaring to both Beijing and Moscow that we will take any North Korean cyber attack as a cyber attack from the Chinese and the Russians. We know that North Korean cyber warriors, for instance, are based on Chinese soil. A few of them are based on Russian soil. And yet we allow this situation to continue. So, for instance, the attacks against Sony Pictures Entertainment in 2014, those were launched from Chinese IP addresses. The Chinese had to know what was going on because of their great firewall, their sophisticated control system. So they knew about the cyber attacks going out from North Korea, from China, as well as all the data that had been exfiltrated from Sony. Hundreds of terabytes of it was going into China. And yet we did not hold the Chinese accountable for that. So that is our fault.
It is our fault, and it may well set a precedent, if we're not careful here, as to how we will behave if, in effect, a Russian channel becomes used for the same kind of purpose. I assume you would anticipate that if that were the case, the Russians would be fully cognizant, as the Chinese doubtless were in this earlier incident, is it not?
Yes, and so we have yet to come to grips with a very unpleasant reality that North Korea is just the paw for both Moscow and Beijing. And it's not just cyber attacks, of course. You know, the Chinese have been supporting the North Korean ballistic missile program, its nuclear weapons effort. They've been weaponizing North Korea. So our policy just does not acknowledge that. And so there are so many of these facts that the American administrations have yet to deal with.
And come to grips with, needless to say. Gordon Chang, thank you. We have to leave it at that for the moment. There's so much more to talk with you about. We'll look forward to doing so next week. Thank you for your time today and for the great work you do at The Daily Beast, Fox News, and elsewhere. Matt Brodsky joins us next. As promised, we'll talk about the possibility of Iranian nukes at hand and the embassy relocation and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.